When our Lord speaks about the requirement that his followers should choose him before even father, mother, brother, sister, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, whatever, our Lord is, of course, establishing the hierarchy of goods, that God is the thing we must choose, the one that we must choose before all others. But there's another issue that enters into this, and it has to do with the things that we love, and that's human respect. Sometimes we choose to be silent or choose to defend things which are indefensible or not to stand up for what is right because we're afraid to lose someone's love or because we're afraid of being embarrassed or whatever, or rejected. And ultimately, our ability to overcome that is rooted in God's grace. It's rooted in the fact that our Lord has overcome all these things. Of course, he's God, but he didn't care what anybody thought. He told the truth. He is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And he ultimately died for the truth. And today we live in a world which is full of human respect, and even in a world in which lying is considered to be not only okay, but we even will excuse it in our politicians, for example, sometimes if they're on our side, we'll excuse it. We even will chalk it up to their abilities as a politician. And so human respect is really a plague upon society. It's also called political correctness. We're unwilling to stand up for what is right because it's right and want to do what is pleasing to men rather than what is pleasing to God. Well, today we celebrate the feast of St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More, who didn't care what anybody thought but did what was right. St. Thomas More was a lawyer and a politician, and yet he is known. We remember him today. Even in England, the Anglicans actually venerate Thomas More. They treat him like a saint. His tomb in the Tower of London, which is under the care of the Anglicans, he's treated like a saint. His tomb is venerated because he was an honest man. He was an honest lawyer, an honest politician who wasn't willing to compromise on what he knew to be true. Likewise, St. John Fisher was among the very few of the English bishops who was willing to stand up and speak out for the Catholic faith. You know, but Thomas More and John Fisher lived a certain kind of life, a discipline of life by which they trained themselves to behave in this way of integrity. Thomas More wanted to be a Carthusian, and after having tried it out, realized that his vocation was in the world. But he nevertheless, during his lifetime, although he was a man of the world who had to deal with the world and was also a humanist in the sense of the best sense of the word, I mean, he was very learned in many different disciplines, as was the custom among Renaissance men, and yet he put his faith before everything else and was educated in his faith. He was known to go off one day a week to a place that he had on his property built for recollection, and would spend one day a week in complete solitude and recollection. Not everybody can do that, especially today, but the point is really that the saints had a way of thinking, a way of living. They disciplined their minds by praying every day and meditating upon the faith and reading the scriptures. And unfortunately, in our own day, in living in this information age, which has its assets, don't get me wrong, but it's also got its liabilities. We live fragmented and scattered lives. We're bombarded by images and voices and text messages and sound bites constantly. And if they're not diametrically opposed to the faith, usually they're more or less not, I mean, many times they're more or less useless or distracting. And in that context, we see over and over people compromising and moving away from integrity, compromising their integrity. We see it every day in politics. And we become accustomed to it. This is why we need to cling to the words of Jesus, the words of our Lord. We need to pray the rosary. The rosary is a memory aid. It's a memory discipline. We practice prudence and make good judgments when our memories are filled with good experience, so that we, you know, when we were tempted or we have to make a difficult choice, that our minds are flooded with good information rather than bad information. It's not simply a matter of information, but when we make the effort to meditate, when we make the effort to inform our lives with the truth, we are cooperating with God's grace. And then when we need to make a good choice, then God's grace is there for us. And if we do it consistently, if we do it humbly, if we do it in a prayerful way, then we can even be able to do extraordinary things, like St. Thomas More and John Fisher, who stood up in the midst of their own age and were alone in their willingness to profess their faith and paid the ultimate price, gave their lives for Jesus Christ, which was, you know, a difficult choice to make. But it's also a great blessing that we should be counted worthy to suffer something for our Lord. This is what St. Peter exhorts us to be willing to do in his first letter, which we read today, that we should be willing to suffer in accord with God's will and recognize that there is divine providence, there is salvation in that choice. The world wants to tell us that we need to be comfortable, we need to have all the conveniences of life, and our Lord tells us that only one thing is necessary, and that is Him and His kingdom. And we pray that we might have that grace as we celebrate this feast in honor of St. John and St. Thomas More.
Jesus.